This is Free Thought Radio with co-hosts Dan Barker and Annie Laurie Gaylor. Irreverent views, news, music, and interviews.
Imagine there's no heaven.
I'm Annie Laurie Gaylor. Welcome to Free Thought Radio.
And I'm Dan Barker, your friendly neighborhood atheist. This is the weekend of December 18th and 19th, 2010, and the winter solstice is coming up in a few days this week. So happy winter solstice from me, too.
Free Thought Radio is broadcasting Madison, Wisconsin. We're broadcasting on several stations around the country and also podcasting.
Free Thought Radio is the weekly production of the Freedom From Religion Foundation. We are a state church watchdog. We're also the nation's largest association of explicitly atheist or agnostic members.
New listeners to Free Thought Radio are offered a complimentary 3-month subscription to FFRF's newspaper, Free Thought Today, which is published 10 times a year, edited by Bill Dunn. Just go to radio.fffrf.org. That's radio.fffrf.org. Fill in the call numbers of the radio station you're listening to. We'll get your first issue of Free Thought Today in the mail. This offer is one per customer. If you have previously received complimentary subscriptions, hey, it's time to pony up.
Our guest on today's show is Michael Newdow, the guy who's been litigating under God in the Pledge of Allegiance now for a number of years. He's a legend, and he'll be squeezing our interview, which will take place in about half an hour, into his schedule because this week he's headed to the Antarctic, and he's got a couple hours in the Los Angeles airport to talk to us today. The Antarctic, a cold place to pass the winter solstice. And we'll be, of course, that would be the summer solstice down there, wouldn't it? We'll be talking with him about a number of lawsuits, including the lawsuit he's working on with us, the Freedom From Religion Foundation, and our members in New Hampshire, litigating the Religious Pledge of Allegiance.
As a bonus, we'll be playing excerpts of some of Mike Newdow's seasonal songs, in addition to being an emergency room doctor, a very good one, and an attorney, a very good one. He's also a very talented and creative musician.
And it's that time of year again. December is always a very busy month for the Freedom From Religion Foundation. We are monitoring a bizarre situation in Kentucky right now, where the governor there has promised very generous tax incentives to a group to construct a huge replica of Noah's Ark and a Bible-based theme park. They're going to be calling it the Ark Encounter.
Here's Kentucky Governor Beshear explaining how the park is designed to bring the Bible back to life.
The project is called the Ark Encounter. It's a theme park designed to bring to life the various stories and places in the Bible. The primary feature of the proposed 160-acre complex will be a full-scale replica of Noah's Ark.
There was a December joint press conference between Kentucky public officials and the religious groups behind this Ark project. By the way, the park is the idea of the same Christian ministry that runs the notorious Creation Museum in Petersburg, Kentucky. Now, here's a representative from one of the various religious groups answering a question about whether there will be dinosaurs on this Ark.
Will there be dinosaurs on the Ark?
I'm sure we'll have representative kinds of animals on the Ark, to include dinosaurs. So,
we're talking about live animals. But
probably no live dinosaurs, but we will have a lot of live animals.
But they do think there will be dinosaurs represented. There were dinosaurs on the Ark. They actually think there was an Ark, and a worldwide flood. This is the same people that put up that anti-evolution creationism museum in Kentucky that I visited, and it's really silly. The developers of this Ark Encounter are a profit-making company. They expect to spend about $150 million to employ 900 people and attract 1.6 million visitors the first year. They say that with the Creation Museum only 45 miles away, they'll create a kind of Christian tourism corridor, attracting busloads of churches and Christian schools. The theme park, this new one, will include, and we're not kidding you, it will include a Tower of Babel and a journey through the Old Testament, including special effects such as the 10 plagues of Egypt.
And it doesn't sound very safe. And the Kentucky's Tourism Development Act will mean that the developers can get up to 25% of their development costs over 10 years from sales tax generated by the park back. The Ark Encounter stands to receive a quarter of its investment back from taxpayers, or that's $37.5 million.
Now listen to Grant County Judge Executive Daryl Link of Kentucky also speaking at that press conference.
I think this project accentuates the faith of the people and the values of the people in Grant County tremendously. It accentuates our faith and values, and we're proud to have these guys located in Grant County. And I would suggest that if I asked for a show of hands here in this audience, that the majority of the folks here would be proud to have it here in Kentucky as well. At the end of the day, it's as the governor said, it's for profit, and it's bringing jobs, and it's bringing a tremendous amount of industry, and the spinoff to that economic industry is tremendous as well.
So does the majority rule on state church issues? ARC Encounter consultant Carrie Summers explains that they have not yet decided whether or not they will engage in discriminatory hiring practices by requiring employees to sign a statement of faith, which is a known hiring practice of this group that's behind it called Answers in Genesis.
This is a very expensive project. There is a large workforce, and you want a certain type of person. There's no discriminatory hiring going on. And, you know, as far as the statement of faith that's used at Answers in Genesis, that's Answers in Genesis. As far as the investment group, we're wrestling with that right now. To be just blatantly honest, I could say yes or I could say no and everybody would be happy, but that's not the case. So we're working through that right now.
This week, under some pressure, Governor Beshear admitted that if these groups discriminate, they're not eligible for the tax credits.
So these will be your tax dollars at work, promoting fundamentalist Christianity, creationism, and we have to say, ignorance.
FFRF has been busily researching the constitutionality of this setup, and we'll keep you posted. Otherwise, it's been a very busy week for us, as it always is this time of year. By the winter solstice, coming up on Tuesday, we'll be placing one of our famous winter solstice displays in the Capitol building in Jackson, Mississippi.
And we remind everyone that the winter solstice is the real reason for the season. The winter solstice, the shortest, darkest day of the year, takes place this year, Tuesday, December 21st. This natural holiday signals the return of the sun, the return of the new year, and has been celebrated for millennia in the Northern Hemisphere with festivals of lights, evergreens, feasts, and exchanges of gifts.
And we like to say we're willing to share the season with Christians, but they should recognize and acknowledge that they really stole Christmas from all of its pagan origins, really predicated on a natural holiday. Mississippi members have urged us to place our sign in the winter solstice sign in the state capitol in the rotunda of Mississippi because they allowed a nativity scene for the first time.
And here's some news coverage about that.
A nativity scene at the state capitol is stirring some controversy all the way to Wisconsin. Members of Mississippi's 9/11 Remembrance Foundation sponsored the display showing Joseph, Mary, and the baby Jesus. It went up last Friday on the first floor of the capitol in the rotunda. But now a freedom of religion group based out of Wisconsin wants to counter the Christmas display with its own message. News Channel 12's Chris Williams looks at the battle over freedom of religion in a public place.
It's part of our heritage. It's part of the entire country's heritage.
Justin Bernard says he set up the nativity scene at the request of Lieutenant Governor Bill Bryant. It was paid for with private funds and is also a tribute to troops overseas.
I'm just putting up a little something for them in remembrance because they're going over there to fight for our freedom.
But a Wisconsin-based atheist group wants their own display, too. They believe religious figures do not belong in any public buildings across the country.
When the government says that there's a public forum, and that you can put religion in this public forum, then we will be there with our sign.
The group plans to display a plaque like this one inside the Capitol at the end of the month. It says, keep church and state separate with a few other beliefs.
There are no gods, no devils, no angels, no heaven or hell. there is only our natural world.
Bernard says he's not offended.
If she'd like to put a sign up right beside it, that's fine.
Bernard says the foundation is not trying to attack or offend anybody by putting up this nativity scene. They're just remembering Christmas the way they want to.
The word Christmas has Christ in it, and Christ in the manger. I mean, this is what it's all about.
In Jackson, Chris Williams, WJTV News Channel 12.
Free Thought Radio will be right back to talk about a huge controversy in Brookville, Indiana, over our complaint about an unlawful manger scene on public property. And then we'll talk with Michael Newdow, First Amendment defender extraordinaire. I'm Dan Barker with Annie Laurie Gaylor. We'll be right back.
Hi, this is Doug Holmes from Oregon, Wisconsin. Happy to be a free thinker and listening to Free Thought Radio.
As Mark Twain said, faith is believing what you know ain't so. This is Free Thought Radio.
And I'm Dan Barker. Do you like my gospel-style piano playing there? That's something useful that I picked up from my years as a minister. I'm Dan Barker, here in the studio with Annie Laurie Gaylor. Annie Laurie and I are co-directors, co-presidents of the National Freedom From Religion Foundation, which produces this show, Free Thought Radio.
And we're also married. We have a huge controversy going on in Brookville, Indiana, which has a large nativity display all by itself on the Franklin County Courthouse lawn. That's unlawful, according to the Supreme Court. A manger scene can't be by itself on public property. Now, at FFRF, we don't think there should be any manger scenes on public property, but the Supreme Court has limitations. And according to the court, it has to be part of an overall larger secular display. And it's not. But what's so bizarre about this display in Indiana is that they have put it circling a flagpole owned by the county on the county courthouse lawn, and they've put an angel on the flagpole.
Is it an American flag or what?
Yes, of course. So our staff attorney, Rebecca Market, got right on it. She wrote a firm letter about it, and let's listen to some of the fallout.
Let every heart prepare in room, and heaven and nature sing.
The courthouse lawn has had room for a nativity display for almost 50 years, but its days may be numbered. A group called the Freedom From Religion Foundation has written a letter asking that the nativity be removed.
Now, to me, if it goes to court, it should be thrown out as a frivolous lawsuit, and amen.
The group's not threatening to go to court yet, but it does lay out court rulings that make it clear a city-owned nativity on county-owned property steps over the line separating church and state.
And I've never heard of anybody complaining about it. I don't know, have you guys ever heard anybody?
County workers filed out onto the courthouse lawn, making it clear where they stand.
We are tired of minority groups speaking up and being offended where the majority of us are really offended. So I think if they don't like it here, well then don't stay here.
While the display represents Christian beliefs, Franklin County Commissioner Tom Wilson says those are the values of this community.
The county, who owns the county? The people do. The people in this community own the county. It's their tax dollars. It's their property. It's their Christian values. And if they want it here, I think it should have it.
But they may not all want it. The Freedom From Religions Foundation would only tell me the complaint about the display came from a member and that they have members in this area. Supporters of the Nativity plan a rally this weekend. In the meantime, folks all over Brookville are signing petitions to keep it. High school freshman Adrian Bolser put the petitions together, and her mom says it's clear people here don't want to back down.
I think they're going to find out that Franklin County really does believe in Jesus Christ, and we don't settle well when you try to take our faith away.
So do we put the First Amendment up to a local majority vote? Is that how we run this country?
So now here's the coverage of that promised rally.
It's going to stay until a judge orders me to move it.
It's a fight over a hometown favorite, a community rallying behind a nativity scene. Controversy is unfolding in the small town of Brookville, Indiana, after a Wisconsin-based group filed a complaint asking county leaders to remove the scene from the courthouse lawn. Fox 19's Emily Wood spoke with both sides on the issue and is live now with more. Emily?
Kim, I'm at Fountain Square, standing between the Christmas tree and the Hanukkah menorah, which share the holiday season display down here in downtown Cincinnati. But the scene is different in Franklin County, Indiana, where people gathered early this afternoon to rally in support of the nativity scene. They argue that it is not unconstitutional. They say they are prepared to take this fight all the way to the Supreme Court and want it to stay right where it is.
This is the reason for Christmas season, the Holy Word of God.
Christians living in Brookville are ready to push back after a formal complaint to remove the nativity from government property. The Freedom From Religion Foundation says placing the scene in front of the courthouse is in violation of the First Amendment.
This was on private property, fine, but when this is in a government setting with the flagpole, it seems to be tying being a good American citizen with being a Christian. And that is making outsiders of non-Christians in your community.
Did you say Jesus?
Yes. People in Brookville are signing a petition and say Christians have the same freedoms.
This is our right. This is our season. These people who don't want to celebrate or don't want us to put out these symbols of Christianity don't have a problem with taking paid holidays.
County Commissioner Tom Wilson is willing to compromise by making the display more secular by adding a Santa Claus, reindeer, and additional holiday lights.
We're not so close-minded to think that other people don't believe differently, you know, like the Jewish people or anybody. If they want to come and set something up tasteful, that's nice. I have no problem with them doing that.
But the foundation says, according to legal precedent, the nativity cannot be the focus of the display.
Kim, the Freedom From Religion Foundation says it has not heard from the county since filing the complaint. County Commissioner Tom Wilson says it has sent it to the county's attorney, which is being reviewed, and they will have a response after the first of the year.
Yeah, this response after the first of the year, when it's an unlawful display. In other words, we're just going to keep it up till the end of the year. And this has gotten a lot of coverage, besides local coverage, is getting coverage in Indiana. And CNN Headline News has covered it. And you heard the bigotry and the small-mindedness. And this is, we're Christians, we dominate.
Well, they're proving our point, aren't they? These comments are showing that they, in fact, do think it's a Christian community. And they talked about, we're going to take this all the way to the Supreme Court. It's already been to the Supreme Court. This issue
several times.
This issue's already been decided. And Rebecca's letter pointed that out with the precedents. And
yeah, we're working with what we have to work with, which is some limitations by the Supreme Court that we don't like. We think no law means no law. Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion. But certainly the court has been very clear that you cannot have a nativity scene all by itself. And then to stick it in the middle of an enormous flagpole with the flag out, put an angel on it. Well, you can see how it has taught the people in the community to be small-minded, to feel that they are first-class citizens and no one else has rights.
And that they would be gracious enough to permit, like the Jewish people, that guy said, or others, to put up a tasteful sign of their own. They would let us.
Well, if it's going to be turned into a public forum, they have to let the Freedom From Religion also, as we are doing in Jackson, Mississippi, and as we are doing right now in Loudoun County, Virginia, for the second year in a row, our mesh banner has returned to a courthouse there where they used to have only a nativity display until we and others complained. Mm-hmm. And now we're one of 10 displays, and it's our "There Are No Gods, No Gods, No Devils" sign, and we'll be there if there's going to be a nativity display.
That's good music, Brian. These people are turning a happy family holiday into a Halloween time, a scary time. Well, stay tuned. I'm Dan Barker with Annie Laurie Gaylor. Coming up, we're going to be talking with the now legendary, always nimble-minded and indefatigable defender of the principle of separation between church and state. We'll be talking with Michael Newdow about the foundation's challenge of under God in the Pledge of Allegiance.
That he is generously handling pro bono, and he's going to be talking with us in a minute from an airport en route to Antarctica.
So stay tuned.
I'm Marilee Harrison from Crystal Falls, Michigan, and I listen to the Free Thought Radio podcast.
of dogma. This is Free Thought Radio.
Deck the malls with buyer's folly. La 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 la. Stores have reason to be jolly. La 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 la. Selling toys and gay apparel. La 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 la. Racking money by the barrel. La 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 la. Assorted clothes, dominoes, books of prose, painted toes, arrows, bows, straightened nose, theater shows, a garden hose. Garden fruits, spotted newts, ancient lutes, new pursuits, ladder shoots, bathing suits, magic flutes, winter boots. Winter hats, fine cravats, balls and bats, morning chats, mice and rats, flies and gnats, dogs and cats, rugs and mats, rugs and floors, brand new doors, solid cores, chest of drawers, box of floors, city tours, fungal spores, fishing lures. See the racing folks before us. La 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 la. So intent they do ignore us. La 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 la. Each seeks to find hidden treasure. La 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 la. I'll go shopping at my leisure. La 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 la. Fishing poles, deli rolls, donut holes, china bowls, soccer goals, prepaid tolls, new controls, set of scrolls, set of dice, little mice, flavored ice, flavored rice, pizza slice, get one twice, lots of spice, brand new vice, brand new car, full guitar, honey jar, going far, shooting par, shining star, thick guitar, candy bar, candy peas, lots of cheese, set of skis, ATVs, honeybees, symphonies, lilac trees.
And that is Michael Newdow, the multi-talented lawyer, doctor, and not quite an Indian chief yet, that's my job, but a songwriter too. That song is called Deck the Malls, and we're happy to have Mike Newdow. Annie Laurie, you want to introduce him?
Well, Michael is known to the Free Thought and First Amendment world for winning a fabulous decision by the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals back in the early 2000s that agreed with him that Under God in the Pledge of Allegiance was an unconstitutional addition back in 1954, and it should not be required of school children. And that case was thrown out on standing by the Supreme Court, and Michael hasn't given up, and he's working with others, and he's working with the Freedom From Religion Foundation. And we have a case that we have taken in New Hampshire with our own members and Michael, that we have a bad decision out of the First Circuit. And Michael, welcome to the show, and why don't you tell us what's going on with that lawsuit?
Well, tell us where you are first right now.
I'm in LAX, and I'm traveling to the Southern Hemisphere.
The Southern Hemisphere.
Correct.
And you're going to go to the Antarctic for the summer solstice, is that it?
I am. I figure that's probably as free thoughtish as you can get.
Yeah, there's no Santa at the South Pole, is there?
I don't think so. I think he just stays, only stays north, where, but there will be snow.
There will be snow.
Well, I don't know. He's got to catch everybody.
So. Yeah, you'll be there. Are you doing this for a vacation or is this working?
It's a working vacation. I'm going to be a cruise physician on a ship that goes sails from Ushuaia, the southernmost city in the world, to Antarctica.
Wow, what an adventure!
Ushuaia, where is that?
It's right at the tip of Argentina.
Oh, well, bon voyage. Now, we talked in the introduction about the litigation that you've taken, and then in particular, we wanted to catch up with what's going on with FFRF's lawsuit with you. And we can hear some of that airport announcements. We're talking with Mike Newdow live from an airport.
Tell them to hold the gate open for you.
Okay.
And tell us what's going on with that lawsuit.
Well, that lawsuit we lost in the district court, which we always expected. And then we lost, though, in the appellate court, which isn't unexpected, but we were hopeful, or I was hopeful, that the judges would actually uphold the equality upon which our Constitution is founded, and they didn't. They came up with the typical reasons to not do what they should do. Mostly, I mean, they didn't abide by the Supreme Court's case law. The Supreme Court has constantly said that you have to be neutral with regard not only between religions, but between religion, i.e. belief in God, and non-religion, i.e. atheism. And they've said that. I actually supplied them with 35 cases where the Supreme Court has said that. And the last time they spoke on the subject in 2005, they said it was the touchstone for our Establishment Clause and jurisprudence. And obviously, it's not treating atheists equal when you say that we are a nation and in God we trust. So that was my argument. They mentioned the neutrality principle, which, again, the Supreme Court said is the touchstone, a total of zero times. They never even mentioned it.
Wow.
And they took the test that they have and they completely twisted those around.
So, now, doesn't it seem strange to you that these judges who are educated and informed about the Constitution never seem to get the difference, rarely seem to get the difference between government speech and private voluntary speech? It seems like they were saying that since there's no coercion involved, the government's free to go ahead and impose this religious phrase upon school children.
Yeah, it's really strange. The coercion analysis, basically there's three tests that the Supreme Court uses. One is the Lemon test, which has a couple parts, and then the other is the endorsement test, and the last one is the coercion test. But coercion is not a measure of an Establishment Clause issue. It's a free exercise issue. And what the Supreme Court has said is when you have so much of an Establishment Clause that it's already gone into the free exercise realm. So if you've done something that coerces people to do something and thereby affected their free exercise rights, clearly it has to be an Establishment Clause violation as well. And judges leave that part out.
Yeah, coercion is not required to show that there's a violation of the separation of church and state, the Establishment Clause.
Exactly.
We are running into this argument.
That. Right. If you have that, then clearly you already are beyond the issue in terms of establishment, but you don't need that.
Mm-hmm.
And so they said, well, nobody has to say the Pledge of Allegiance, which by the Supreme Court's analysis under the Lee versus Weissman case, and Justice Thomas has said this, you know, if you compare this to what we said in Lee versus Weissman, this is 10 times more coercive. He didn't say 10 times, but it's much more coercive. But the majority didn't, the panel didn't buy that at all.
Now, Lee versus Weissman was the Supreme Court decision saying you cannot have ministers come in and do benedictions and invocations
at graduation,
at high school graduation ceremonies. But let's talk about, I still do think there is something deeply coercive about a law in New Hampshire requiring the daily recitation of the Pledge of Allegiance. And yes, it says kids don't have to be forced to say the pledge. But think about what that does to the child in the classroom when everybody else stands and rises and does this religious pledge. And that's who you're representing. Do you want to talk a little bit about the plaintiffs? I mean, we don't name them, but the plaintiffs you're representing in New Hampshire?
Right. And they are obviously coerced. There's actually a recent study where they looked at high school. There are teenagers, 13 to 17, I think, was the age group. And they found 40% of those people, when they asked, do you have to say the pledge, 40% thought they did. So imagine, you know, a 5-6-year-old kid led by his or her teacher asked to say it. I mean, I bet you it's close to 100% think they have to do that, unless their parents go out of their way to tell them not. You're correct.
And even if their parents do tell them not to, I mean, I was very offended by the judge's decision saying that there could be many reasons why they wouldn't participate in the pledge, including that they wanted to be different or they had a political objection to the pledge. Well, again, you're not talking about a 5-year-old. What 5-year-old is going to have that kind of objection to the pledge? It's only the kids whose parents are either Jehovah's Witness or atheist or agnostic who are going to be telling their kids they don't believe in a religious pledge.
Correct. And they shouldn't have to do that anyhow. And, you know, I'm sure there are a lot of parents who don't want to get into this issue. Why are their children being subjected to this in any event?
That happened.
Any child subjected to this. I mean, we have an idea that the Congress shall make no law, not even one respecting this. And, you know, the arguments just are really poor on the other side.
That happened to me. I went to my grandson. He was 5 years old. I went to his public high school for a cupcake day.
Not his public school, not public, high school.
Public school, and as a kindergartner, yeah. And they started with the Pledge of Allegiance, and so they all stood up, and I didn't. And he grabbed my shoulder. He said, Papa, you have to stand up. You have to stand up. And I said, no, you don't. This is a voluntary thing. Yes, you do. And he was all stricken that his grandpa was the only one not standing up in that class. You can see the coercion at that level.
That's a perfect example. Yeah, exactly.
Now,
not only doesn't that happen, you know, all the time, which it does, but the idea that, I mean, you know, no one's supposed to be subjected to that. So even if it was just one child, it's a violation.
Or even one grandpa.
Right.
Now, we have only 2 minutes left before the end of this segment. Mike, why don't you tell us when the judge's ruling came down, and then you have just filed another motion.
Correct. I don't remember exactly, but it's getting close. You had 45 days, so it was about a month ago when it came out. And
you never say die. You never say give up. So what are you doing?
So you get to file a petition for rehearing. And you can ask the judges to the panel that comes up. You go before three judges, and you ask them to change their mind. say, here's why you blew it, judges. And then, of course, they're not going to listen to that. And then you can ask for a petition en banc. The only problem is this is in the First Circuit. And the First Circuit only has six judges. And you need to get a majority of the judges to say, okay, to take it en banc. So even if all the other three judges agree, that won't be enough. So we have to get one of the judges who signed on to this opinion to say, yeah, we screwed up. Not very likely.
Not very likely, but you wrote a really, really good motion. Thank you so much. Now, we're talking at the airport, as you can tell, with indefatigable attorney, defender of the First Amendment, Michael Newdow. I'm Annie Laurie Geller with Dan Barker. We're going to be right back to talk some more with Michael Newdow about why Under God doesn't belong in the pledge, why religion doesn't belong in government, and why he works so hard to defend our Constitution. And we'll be right back with Free Thought Radio.
This is Dorothea from Fox River Grove, Illinois, and I'm on Free Thought Radio.
Protect the First Amendment. It protects you. This is Free Thought Radio.
Solstice time is when we all take stock of where we're going and of whom, as we move on, we'd like to take along. Everybody has a choice. Everybody needs a voice. So in solstice, let us all rejoice. Together we are strong. Oh, in solstice, let us all rejoice. Together we are strong.
And that is Mike Newdow, the attorney, the doctor, the physician, who is our guest on our show today. That is his ballad, Solstice Time, which is sung in honor of this week. This winter solstice is coming up. And welcome back to the show, Mike.
Thank you. I hope it sounds better on radio than it does on my cell phone.
It sounds really, really nice. And actually, you're going down to a solstice time, but you're going down to the summer solstice
summer solstice. I'll be ready. I'll be on the ship in Antarctica right as it occurs.
But I don't suppose it will feel like summer.
No, it won't. But it'll be light the whole day long.
Yeah, the constellations will be totally different, and the moon up in the north. It's so interesting, isn't it?
Except I don't know if you see any of that because it's going to be light the whole time.
Oh, on your ship.
Oh, he's below
24
the
24 hours of just get a little bit of dusk.
Oh, yes.
Below the Arctic line, yeah.
Okay. Well, now we are talking with Mike Newdow about the First Amendment, about keeping religion out of government. And Mike, you have a really extraordinary commitment. I mean, you are really working very hard as an emergency room doctor to subsidize your basically pro bono work to litigate major violations such as Under God and the Pledge of Allegiance and In God We Trust as our motto. And what makes you tick like that? Why is this so important to you?
I think that the Constitution was founded on this amazing principle of equality that few nations had before, and I think it's an important principle. I think we keep seeing people treated differently and unfairly and as inferiors and second-class citizens based on all sorts of things. And the one thing that our framers said above all others where we shouldn't do that is with religion. And to see it just is shameful. So,
and you are also...
It's dangerous.
You also have a very... Oh, I'm sorry. You also have a very creative mind. You've had a lot of interesting legal strategies. And
I think the content doesn't require much creativity. I think all of us recognize the beauty of equality in the abstract, and we just seem to cheat on it when we, especially in terms of religion, we like the government fostering religion and race too. People, I'm sure, racists, like the idea of equality and don't see how they trample on that idea. And I think that happens with religion especially, so we should fight it. And this is for the Christians as well as for the atheists.
Protects all of us.
Right.
I think one of the main things you have done is increased the awareness of atheists unapologetically, you know, uncompromising, that atheists are here. We deserve the same treatment as anyone else. We shouldn't be discriminated against. And did you see that cartoon that Steve Benson drew about the U.S. Supreme Court? They have their hands on their hearts, and the justices are pledging one nation under God. And then they said, "You may proceed now, Mr. Newdow," in the cartoon.
See that one, but thank you, Steve.
It was immortalizing your oral arguments, of course, your famous oral arguments before the U.S. Supreme Court when you were representing a case yourself in challenging under God in the Pledge of Allegiance. And so, but what do you think of the current Supreme Court?
Sorry, say that again.
We should explain, we're talking to Michael Newdow at
Los Angeles Airport.
International Airport. He's en route to Antarctica. So we're hearing announcements. Mike, what's your assessment of the current U.S. Supreme Court?
I think, you know, we tend to villainize certain individuals. I hope they all, even the ones we villainize, are trying to do the same thing and uphold this amazing document. I'm sure we all see things differently. And, you know, there are some people, I think you guys probably are very concerned that we couldn't possibly win in these cases if it gets fair. That may be correct, but I'm hoping that, you know, if we make a good argument and we say, look, you know, this is really simple stuff. You guys are not treating people equally. You've done this a number of times in the past, and with Dred Scott, Plessy v. Ferguson, Coram Hatsu, you know, it's time to stop having this streak of treating people as second-class citizens.
Well,
hopefully they'll hear it.
Our New Hampshire case, you're asking for unbank for the First Circuit to hear it, but you have a case now. The Ninth Circuit ruled against you the last time in your Pledge of Allegiance challenge of under God. So you are asking for the U.S. Supreme Court to take that case, are you not?
I'm asking in the Motto case for that to be taken. What happened in the, and it's a little poetic justice, what happened in the case that just came out with the pledge is actually what happened with me when I went in 2004. And so the Supreme Court said the federal courts can't hear that. There was a custody issue that arose after it was decided by the Ninth Circuit. And so what I'm asking actually from the Supreme Court is to reverse and remand the opinion of the Ninth Circuit, and I'm going to hopefully get another try in the Ninth Circuit. So it's, as I say, a little poetic justice because, again, we'll have another opportunity, only this time the change will be in our favor.
Well, good.
And that's In God We Trust, right?
That's on the pledge case.
Oh,
there were
the
two cases in the Ninth Circuit. And the In God We Trust, I just filed the petition for it. Well, actually, I'm about to file. Actually, I have to wait till I get back from Antarctica, but they're printing it right now, the petition for cert and the In God We Trust case.
Well, we really appreciate your taking the time, squeezing us in between customs and everything at the L.A. airport to talk with us at Free Thought Radio. And we wish you a very sunny solstice, Mike.
I want to ask something. How can people get a hold of your music? That's the solstice songs that we played a little bit.
Oh, it's so nice of you. They'll have to, unfortunately, they'll miss it because I won't be able to send it out until January. But if they would like to hear it or buy a copy, best thing is to go to pledgehelp@gmail.com and just send me an email.
Pledgehelp@gmail.com. Well, thank you, Michael. We're out of time. Thank you, Mike. It was fun, and have a good bon voyage to south of the equator. We also want to thank our producer, Brian Turani, our announcer, Buzz Kemper. This show is recorded in Madison, Wisconsin. Go to ffrf.org/radio to hear archives and to sign up for the podcast.
Phone 1-800-335-4021 for more information, or go to ffrf.org. Support FFRF. Join us. Check out our website, request a sample copy of Free Thought today, and join us next week for more rational radio and blasphemous broadcasting. Have a very sunny solstice, everyone.
Free Thought Radio is a production of the Freedom From Religion Foundation, FFRF.org. Irreverent views, news, music, and interviews brought to you by Annie Laurie Gaylor and Dan Barker.
I hope someday you'll join us.